Anyway, we welcome you all to our service this morning, whether you're here or on Zoom or YouTube, and thank Robert for leading our service this morning and playing such lovely music, Robert. Thank you very much. And I will now light the candle for a time of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Our first song this morning is A New Commandment. I don't have the hymn number actually. But it must be in Mission Praise somewhere.
Number one.
Right. Because it's a song that I can remember singing many years ago. But I guess Robert's chosen it because we're continuing to reflect on John 15. Barbara led our thoughts last week and introduced the theme of love, and I think that's what we're doing today. So, a new commandment. There is a sound on the wind like a victory song. It's really a battle anthem, and in the church's year we're just approaching Ascension Day, and this hymn really looks forward to Advent and the second coming. So we're wishing the year away really. But one of the things that I thought about when I was looking at these words was actually between Pentecost, Advent, and between Ascension Day and Pentecost, there is a prayer initiative that the Anglican Church started called Thy Kingdom Come, where people pray each day for the coming of the kingdom. So I think in that spirit we can sing, there is a sound on the wind like a victory song.
Thank you. Be a light to keep you on your toes. You know, don't think you've come here for any time.
Good morning, everybody. I'm back. Have you missed me? That wasn't loud enough. I had to get up really early this morning, I tell you. But it was sunny, even in Thetford. Let's come together in prayer. God, you bless us with your holy presence and your almighty power. You challenge us to respond. You push us beyond our limits. But we're here in your house, ready to hear your word, ready to do your will, ready to share your love with our neighbours, whoever they may be, and whether we like them or not. Ready to have our hearts opened, our minds stretched. So help us to prepare ourselves for the joy of your word. We know that not only do we get it wrong, but so does the world. Sometimes, even when the evidence of you is staring us in the face, battering our eardrums, yet people close their minds deliberately. So we come to you because we want to walk back in the light, to see what we want to see, to know that that is you. And we know that you know that. We know that you forgive us when we've got it wrong, because there are no boundaries, no limits to your light and your love and the power of your word. So this morning, as we prepare to come before you, let us really live those two new worship hymns that we've just sung. Let us be assured of that new commandment. And let that sound on the wind be your spirit filling us to enable us to live out that new commandment. And now let us focus on that cross, that empty cross, that sign of hope and resurrection and love, as we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing again. 266 in Mission Praise. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship. 266. And you can choose whether you stand or sit to this one. I just warn, there are one or two higher notes that you have to breathe in.
The reading is from John 5, verses 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Working smarter, not harder. Many of us will have gone through those times when we sat in our training meetings and the person leading us said, we're going to work smarter, not harder, and we've all gone, here we go again. But sometimes we try and be quick. Sometimes we think we'll do something quickly or we'll say something quickly and then we don't need to explain or worry. I had that experience yesterday. I told my grandson a joke. I thought he'd get it. I'm going to try it out on you. Right? Are you sitting comfortably?
I'll begin.
Thank you. I've got a new pet. I call him Tiny. Now you're supposed to say, why do you call him Tiny?
Why do you call him Tiny?
Because he's minute.
Ouch.
He didn't get it. I then spent 5 minutes trying to explain to a 10-year-old why. I tried to be smart and I'd made it very hard, hadn't I really? But it's interesting, isn't it, how many times we try and do something because we think it's quicker and it doesn't work out that way. And it doesn't work out that way for a number of factors. You can't work out what other people will do or say. Or you can't prepare for those people who turn around and say, oh, we tried that 30 years ago, it didn't work then, it's not going to happen now, I tell you, you know. Or the person who says, I bet he hasn't thought of so-and-so, you know. That might work in his classroom, but it won't work in mine. My kids are completely different to his. Churches do the same thing. All the time. We think we're smart, we think we're clever, but we still don't quite always get it right. And we get those times, don't we, where we can't quite remember what we've said before, or where we actually got to. It's that sinking feeling, Barbara will know. When you go to a church that you've regularly been at and then you suddenly think, have I told this story before? Where was I when I told that? Was I? Can't remember. You also have to assume that the people hearing you know what you're talking about without using Google Translate. Because they might be on a completely different page to you. Their experience is different. You know, I've said many times to you, we don't know everybody's backstory. We don't know what's led them to the position that they're in. We don't know what they've gone through or what happened this morning that threw them completely. You know, we're all of a getting to a certain age. Some of you are a bit younger. It's all right, Rosie, you're okay. You know, but we get to the point where, you know, where we get to the top of the stairs and we wonder why we've gone up, what we've gone up for. Not because we've actually quite forgotten what we've gone up for, but because on that staircase we've thought of about 50 different things. We try and be smart. And then we do the things that we say, well, while we're up there, can you just get so-and-so? And so you get something else, and then when you come back down again, you're sent off on that tangent onto that one rather than what you want it to do. So working smarter, not harder, isn't quite as easy as it seems. It's fine for the person giving the instruction, but unfortunately everything else gets in the way. So we might think that when Jesus gave us a new commandment, it was going to be so easy. Because it's simple. Work smarter. Don't learn all the Ten Commandments. Just love everybody. But then we get the what ifs. And then we get what you haven't thought of. And I've told you before that of a comedian who just says it. Love everybody. It's non-negotiable. But actually, we don't get that simple instruction of loving everybody. The new commandment was given to all of us. We don't always take it on board that it's there to simplify how we work in our mission, in our ministry, and in our faith. We are to work smarter by following the instruction of let's love everybody. I'm going to make it smarter for you because we're going to sing about sharing love amongst us, and to make sure you've got it right, we're singing it twice. Okay? It's 411. And we can remain seated for this. Pages would separate. Second reading, please.
Second reading is from John 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept your Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. God bless this reading.
Just to love, but what the world needs now.
one of the things that I am beginning to notice is that songs that are 50, 60 years old are still relevant. That the thinking that went in to those words at certain times hasn't changed. Whether it's blowing in the wind, Streets of London, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. The passion is there. And we could look back and say, oh, what was the point? But actually it's quite thrilling to know that people have always held those thoughts. I doubt if many people who have sung that song over the past 50 odd years have thought it or of it as a gospel song. But maybe it should be in our hymn book. Because if there is anything that tells us what that new commandment is, it's the words. And that's why you've got them in front of you, because we're going to try and work through a little bit of that today to just see, can we pick out what does it mean to love your neighbour? And why was it that it was made so important to us that Jesus simplified the existing rules, code of practice, whatever term you want to use, and turned it into those two? Why was it so important that we could simply look at the word love in this context? So let's have a little look at this, I'm going to call it a hymn, you see, because I'm radical. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah. We ask the question, what does the world need? There's your answer. Well, it needs a lot of loving. And it needs a lot of loving in everything. Not just in terms of the people, but in terms of how we look after the old world. Because the old world is having a bit of a problem. I like the second verse. It appeals to me as a geographer. Now I find volcanoes very exciting because it happens. And I can remember again being old when the Isle of Surtsey appeared out of the sea off the coast of Iceland, and we were all glued to our black and white screen televisions to see this new island appearing. So why are we saying we don't need another one? Well, I suppose if all you are going to do is climb them, there are probably enough. Because you'll never get round all of them in your lifetime. So there probably are enough for that. And there probably are enough oceans and rivers. But look at the last line. Enough to last till the end of time. In other words, God gave us a world that was to last because he put everything on it, everything that was needed. He doesn't say, when he says we don't need another mountain in that, and I still think of my volcanoes because I say I get very excited when there's an eruption. But look what a volcanic eruption does. It first of all destroys. But then, it puts all those minerals into the soil, which then grows better crops. There is renewal in that power. And we as Christians need to understand that renewal comes from the power. And where does the power come? There's a sound on the wind. We sung about it earlier. The Holy Spirit refills us all the time and refills us with the passion to show our love. But he's also given us enough water. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. So we're told to look after it. That real love is looking after our environment, not pouring tons and tons of raw sewage into our rivers and so forth, not overfishing them and things. This is about maintaining so that others can share. Can we flick to the next one, Peter? So we repeat that song. I find it interesting, the repetition of a chorus. I mean, you know, as I said, sometimes I make you sing something twice. It's not just to fill time. It's not because I picked a short hymn that I can play. There is something about how we look at the words and how we think those words through. And you know, when you sing something, it's like when you read something in the Bible. It's amazing if you've read it many, many times, you still see something different. But look at the verse in this one. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. So, there's enough land in this world to feed us all. We can grow the food. One of my Twitter friends this morning posted an image, and it was the first thing I saw. And it was tragic, but it's the bombing of the farming fields that are left in Palestine. Why would we bomb fields? And I know not everything is verified and you've got to be careful, and I understand that, but this was verified. Why do we destroy food sources? Because we're told that as part of love, it is making sure, and we, you know, I preached about this the last time I was here, and we looked at people when the first disciples, and they had to share everything. There's enough given for us all in that world for there to be enough food. And it tells us there's enough to grow. There's enough space for us to grow enough food to share with everybody. I'm not going to worry about my sunbeams and moonbeams at all. But I do think we can all dream. So, where do we go with all of this? I find it interesting as we flick through the song that they repeat it that many times. Now, I could have chosen any number of videos of people singing that group. It's been a charity single, it's been all sorts of things. It's a popular song. But what I wanted to do was, it was the images. How important those images were. Because those images are of very recent times, set to a song a long time ago. Let's take a look at our second Bible reading and see if we have any clues in that marrying up. That second reading started, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." I like the notion there of it being generational. Love is something that you teach and pass on. What a wonderful thought to have a family code that says, just as I've loved you, I pass it on and you can share that. Keep that going. But the second part of that, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep. If. We're told it's choice. You have a choice. You can either keep my commandments, or you can go your own sweet way. But if you keep my commandments and live in that way, you'll always see love. Because if you keep my commandments, it goes on to tell you you'll always feel joy. And that joy is said to be complete. So love and joy, two of our Christmas Advent candles, go together here. There's a reward if you choose the way of God, which is to love. And if you love, then you'll get joy. And then it is summed up, isn't it? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it says, laying down your life for one's friends. But he actually says, you are my friends. Now that tells us about doing things for our neighbours and for our friends. He doesn't pick one or two out. Well, you've worked a bit harder, Peter, so, you know, you're going to get a bit more joy. He doesn't do that. You are my friends. Everybody, you can be my friend. If you love. And then I love the next bit on that. Because it says, the servant does not know what the master is doing. Now, I had a little chuckle to myself. Because I was thinking of like, when you're at work, and you think you're doing the right thing, but you don't know what your boss is up to. You don't know what the future plans are. Look at that first bit. I do not call you servants any longer. I call you friends. In other words, we're all in this together. We're all included. It's not negotiable. It's moving on. I'm not your boss. I'm not telling you what to do. We're friends. We do this together. We do it out of love. And there is a little element about being chosen. I appointed you. I've chosen you. I know you can do good. And I know by each one of you going off and doing good, you'll bear fruit. It does really tell us that we should stop being quiet. That we really should be preaching a gospel of having that love that we've just seen in all that we do. It tells us what the power of love is. It tells us where that love comes from. And it tells us to share that love. To go out beyond these doors, within our families, and be who we want to be in love. That we pass on those messages of showing our love. Actions speak louder than words. We've heard the old cliche. We do our duty. But we're told that if we're doing it, even as a duty to our faith, we're going to get joy out of it. You know, we often say to encourage young teachers, You know, you don't know the impact you'll have, but you know, that person will wake up one morning when they're 30 or 40 and they'll suddenly remember what you said. Hopefully it's my geography lessons, but that's a different story. But you never do know. We can open doors for people. We can show them the better way. We can't shove them through it, but we can open those doors. We can tell them the stories. We can be the ones that exude that love. And you won't know your impact, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that we've shared our love to everyone. If we all do it, we'll change the world. You're going to remain seated as we sing 684. There's no greater name than Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we so want to share your love. We so want to be the fruit. We so want to help others. We so want to go with your word. So God of love and openness, open our hearts to see others as you see them. Open our ears to listen with understanding. Open our mouths to speak with wisdom. And above all things, surprise us. For with love, we can change. We can change ourselves. We can change our communities. We can change the world. We reflect on all that is going on in our world. All the hatred. All the war. The crime, the pollution, the disrespect for natural resources, air and water. We know that as we sit here, there are many in our own community, in our own nation, who are struggling to understand why they have no money, why they have no food. you taught us to share. So this morning we pray for all those people who work in food banks, clothes banks, those who work to give advice and support to refugees, asylum seekers. For those who work with released prisoners to help them get back into a better way. For those who give food to the homeless and shelter. For those who go out to areas of conflict or natural disaster to provide aid. We see so much need. We may not have every answer, but we know that one huge answer is to spread the meaning of love. So we thank you that you sent Jesus to show us how love works, to give people a way back to you, to open a door. To have someone to turn to and hold on to. And there are many known to us individually who are in need of that love and healing power at this time. We pray for Gordon, for the family of Eileen Shaddock, for Caleb, for Daphne, for Doreen and Vincent, for Philip, for Purvi and John and family, for Joe and Iris, for Josh, for Lillian, for Linda, for Pam, for Neville, and for Nick, a friend of Gareth's. And from our Thetford Church, we lift Dorothy to you, and Willie. We also pray for all those working towards the development of the mission partnership in this area, and particularly this morning. We pray for other Norwich churches, but specifically Trinity. For all those that we pray for, let them feel your love, your care, and know that we are trying to be the best neighbours that we can. Fill us with the Holy Spirit as we live out that new great command. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning. You are so right, I forgot the collection. I have forgotten the offertory. Sorry, you can't go home until you've paid. Rick, Iris, yes, please do, and I'll play something. Good. Who needs money anyway? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless this gift. Let it be used to share love in this neighbourhood. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, it's time to sing our closing hymn. 1201, and as I say, normally we sing this sort of at Christmas time, but I just felt this morning we need that light coming in. So, we're going to close with Longing for Light. Let's share the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.